Hello, everyone. Seven Investing CEO Simon Erickson here, and thank you for listening to the Seven Investing Podcast. Our podcast is made possible by our subscribers, who allow us to empower you to invest in your future each and every month. In exchange, we give our subscribers exclusive access to our monthly stock market recommendations from each of our lead advisors. To support this podcast and join other Seven Investing fans in our exclusive subscribers forum, where we discuss the latest market moves in real time, go to 7investing.com/subscribe to subscribe to 7 Investing today. We're here to empower you to invest in your future. We are 7 Investing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 7 Investing Podcast. I'm JT Street from the 7 Investing Marketing Team, and I am joined here today by 7 Investing CEO and lead advisor, Simon Erickson. We're going to have a fantastic discussion this morning. Simon, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, JT. I'm highly caffeinated, excited to be here as always.
Yeah, and you're going to need that caffeine today because we are going to dive into some of the takeaways from the Climate Tech Conference, like we talked about last week, but getting into the weeds a little bit, the nuclear weeds, which sounds absolutely terrifying, but that's where we're going. We're going into the nuclear weeds, and we are going to talk about SMRs. Now, my understanding, Simon, is that SMRs is not when someone talks very closely into the microphone in an almost whisper that is somehow like pleasing to the ear.
That is correct. That is this SMR stands for small modular reactor, which is the type of nuclear reactor out there.
And what is the difference to this? When I think of nuclear reactors, I think of, you know, The Simpsons, honestly, because that's the generation that I'm from. So how is a small modular reactor different from, you know, the place where Homer works?
That's the right question, right? Is, you know, the traditional nuclear reactors in this country are kind of like me, Jake. They are in their mid-40s as the average age. They are working all the time and they're kind of grumpy. And that's kind of the thing that you hear about, right? Is, you know, we've got these large nuclear reactors that are supplying base power. But again, like you said, it's been something that it takes a long time. You know, you've got to do the permitting. You've got to get the regulatory stuff. It costs a ton of money, billions of dollars to do. But there is some advantages of them. And the biggest advantage of nuclear is that it is always on 24/7. It's got a capacity factor of 93%, which means that at design output, power output, it's supplying about 93% of its designed output. And this is a huge advantage over solar, which is only producing power when the sun's shining on it, or wind farms, which are only providing power when the wind is blowing. And so nuclear has been kind of looked at as one of these options that America might have for its renewable energy future. But like you said, we've got to do something about these large, grumpy, you know, aging, very expensive nuclear plants. And so small modular reactors is kind of one technology that's getting a lot of attention.
So my understanding is that the small modular reactor is about a third of the size of the old guard of nuclear reactor. Does that mean that it could be spun up and spun down and moved? Like, is it small enough to be mobile? I mean, that's still a third the size of a power plant, you know?
They can be combined, right? So the modular part of this is that you can actually put multiple of them together depending on the size of the system that you want to have. And so this is kind of really useful because you can kind of size them accordingly, right? You don't have to build a giant nuclear plant in the middle of nowhere in Texas. You can actually put them closer to where the demand is, which is kind of one of the advantages of it. These are the same nuclear reactors that have been used in submarines for a long time. They're already deployed in China right now. It's just the U.S. has been a little bit slower to embrace them for various reasons. But now, you know, as everyone's kind of seeing funding provided by the Inflation Reduction Act, kind of a push from utilities to develop new power production facilities, you know, it's kind of back on the table. This is kind of the revolution we've been waiting for in the nuclear weeds. It hasn't happened for several decades.
You know, it's interesting. Like you said, there's a lot of push and pull when it comes to the word nuclear. And part of that is PR, which we have discussed before. But when I go to look at research for small modular reactors, I just Googled it. And the first thing I get is a video from the Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis. And the title of that video is Why SMRs Are Not a Climate Fix. And you click on the video and it's a Zoom length like this, and it's 55 minutes of what looks like five very well-meaning, analysts who are about my parents' age talking about why nuclear is bad. And then immediately underneath that video is the International Energy Forum saying, SMRs making a big difference. So what, from your research and from the, you know, the Climate Tech Forum, is there a way the wind is blowing and being captured and being used to make energy here that is prevailing at this point? Or is it really just still kind of a pitched battle for the idea of nuclear making a comeback?
There's a couple things to really keep in mind. The first is there's going to be a lot of winners out of this, right? We shouldn't frame it like what is going to win, solar or wind or nuclear. All of them are going to win, right? The amount of energy demand in this country is going to double within the next decade and a half. And so to keep up with that, even though nuclear is only about 20% of total energy generation, electricity generation in the United States today, it's still going to need to keep up. And we're going to need solar farms and we're going to need wind farms. All of these are going to be part of the energy equation. But another important thing to keep an eye on is, you know, when you're doing investments, we're still just moving electrons. You know, this is a commodity market. And so one of the biggest considerations is the levelized cost of energy. How cheaply can you produce this, all things considered, and unsubsidized, right? If you take out all of the government subsidies that are for several different types of power production, how much are they actually costing? And so right now, if you look at it just in terms of the cost, you know, things that are giving emissions off, coal, gas, you know, natural gas, these are the lowest cost, levelized cost of energy that we have available. But there's a large expectation that once you start funding new technologies, sometimes with subsidies, sometimes just through efficiency and operations, the cost of them comes down. And nuclear is one that we actually have a pretty acceptable levelized cost of energy right now for large-scale nuclear. And the question is, can you get that lower into small modular reactor nuclear? The idea is if you can get to a cost of around $60 or $70 per megawatt hour that's provided for electricity generation, that's very acceptable for a return on investment for something that would be a capital project. And this is also much lower than a lot of solar PV and a lot of wind that's out there right now, even large-scale wind. But again, we're going through a learning curve. These costs are going to come down over time, which is what most people that are investing in renewable energy projects are expecting to see.
Yeah. And you talked about it, you know, coal and other, you know, fossil fuel burning energy options being the cheapest. Just my soapbox. If those companies had to pay for the negative externalities of that, which right now they don't really, that would get a lot more expensive for them. But I'm just going to throw that out at the universe and see if it sticks. Talking about how nuclear is already a more financially attractive proposition, if you can get through the regulatory hurdles, that's got to be why you're starting to see some ears perk up from companies like Dow and Microsoft when it comes to using SMRs to fund these energy intensive projects, right?
That's the other thing too, is, you know, we think of power production and energy generation. We just think of, oh, okay, there's a giant grid. Government's going to pay a lot of subsidies to get this, you know, more efficient and start developing these new types of power. But actually, industrial companies and corporations are also on their own really interested in these new technologies as well. You just mentioned two of them, Dow Chemical and Microsoft, are both already considering SMRs through development projects. Dow Chemical wants to use them for the Gulf Coast operations. One of the plants that I personally worked in to help pay for college, which it's got a special spot in my heart. Now it could be, you know, powered by SMRs in the near future. And then of course, Microsoft has got data centers all across the world that it wants to have low cost power as well. In fact, we're going to talk about one of the companies right now, or just in a minute here, that's actually winning some contracts to provide nuclear power through SMRs to some of these corporations. For very similar applications like those we just mentioned.
Well, let's dive into that. Let's talk about NuScale. So that's a company that you've been looking at regarding SMRs. Their ticker is SMR, if I'm not mistaken, right? So they are branding themselves as this solution for this particular type of problem. What is it about NuScale that is gaining interest from you and other people who are interested in the investing side of climate change?
They're kind of the front runner right now when it comes to the design and the engineering for SMRs, at least in America. This is a company that's about 60% owned by Fluor, right? The engineering and construction firm out there that is specifically focused on the SMR technology. And NuScale was the first company last summer to receive certification from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission. That's the NRC for the SMR design. And then they very shortly after that got its first municipal power contract. It was actually over in Utah to provide, you know, a contract in 2029. And then in addition to that, which is municipal, right, power development for a community that's out there, they also won another commercial bid with a company called Standard Power up in the Ohio region to provide SMR power, nuclear power for data centers. A very, very large contract, again, in 2029 for that as well, JT. So this is kind of the front runner. You're actually seeing some contracts being signed. For those noticing, 2029 is still 6 years in the future. This is not happening tomorrow. There's a lot of regulatory work that needs to be done. There's a lot of design work and engineering work and construction work and all these workflows that need to happen before you actually start getting power out of these things. But you are starting to see progress, right? It's not just a pie in the sky pipe dream idea anymore. You're getting commercial customers saying, yep, acceptable price per megawatt hour that's provided. Let's go with SMRs and see if we can get these embedded. So pretty promising for anybody who's looking at SMR and seeing the developments of the last, you know, year or 15 months here.
That's real interesting to me because I, you know, am a bit of a futurist. I like looking at what's on the horizon, and there are so many of these really neat ideas where it's, oh yeah, you know, 5 years from now, it's going to happen 5 years from now. You know, oh yeah, if we just put a little energy into this 5 years, you know, on quantum computing, oh man, 5 years, self-driving cars. Oh yeah. Yeah. 5 years, 5 years. Maybe 10, you know, and to me, you know, small, you know, fusion was right. The big nuclear push where we're seeing, oh, wow, we've been able to successfully do fusion twice, you know, and in 5 years, it's going to be really exciting. But as opposed to all those other, hey, in 5 years, this is going to be something. Where 5 years from now, the people who said that are going to be, yeah, oh yeah, just give us five more years. You know, this one, in 60 more years, we're going to see a power plant. You know, we're going to see these things starting to go online. And we're going to be able to actually judge for ourselves if they're effective or not. So I like that I can see a absolutely thesis verifying event within the 10-year time frame. So the long-term investor, that's something that is attractive to me where it's like, okay, you know, I'm buying this. Why am I buying this stock? Every time I buy a stock, I like to know why I'm buying it, right? Like that's at least like the basic level of a thesis, right? And if you're not doing that, you should start. And join 7 Investing because we give you theses.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. Fly, yeah. Have a good one.
Yeah, we're like the Martin Luther of stock picking. So you can have a thesis and actually see it play out. It's in a fairly reasonable time frame. So that's one of the things I like about NuScale is that we're going to have an event in 2029 where we get to see if all of this is right or not.
There is a, you know, every industry is a little different, right? But, you know, there is certainly a hype cycle element to the energy industry, right? You see these new technologies, whether you mentioned fusion. I mean, right now, fusion is getting a lot of attention. Because, you know, they're thinking they're actually producing net positive energy out of it. You know, Sam Altman is kind of working with some stuff behind the scenes and behind the curtain that he's really excited about for nuclear fusion. That's different than this nuclear fission, which we're talking about here with NuScale today. But I mean, things like this, you know, there's excitement and there's headlines and there's disruptive potential for it. But then you've also got to clear regulations and you still got to get somebody to pay for it. And energy tends to be a very long time scale for new power production, you know, a 10, 15 year kind of time scale for new technologies to even get out there and be deployable and then actually start flipping the switch on where it's being used. But you are seeing progress. I mean, I think the point here is that if you're a patient investor and you want to get in super early, I mean, NuScale is still, you know, what is it, a sub $500 million company? I haven't checked in a little while, but maybe $400, $500 million market cap. It's still very small. But you start thinking about it in terms of the size of these projects. Yes, you're going to have to wait half a decade to get them deployed. They're also going to be really, really big projects. And everything that I saw at the Climate Tech Conference at MIT was there's a lot of support from the academic community, from the commercial community, from the government for SMRs right now. So this could certainly be a part of the energy mix as, you know, America is embracing renewable energy for the next decade.
I think the two most important words in that previous sentence were right now. And that's one of the things that would make me a little nervous about investing in something like nuclear right now is, yes, right now we're seeing some interest, right? We're seeing these projects. Now, those projects aren't going to go away. They're committed. That paper is signed. Like, they're going to start building. That's happening. But I wonder, right now there's interest. What's going to happen in the next 6 years? Are we hopping on something that we think is going to be big, but then that ultimately gets eclipsed by fusion, and then it winds up being a smattering of projects, and by the time this happens, you know, the next big thing has captivated everybody, and oh, by the way, that scary nuclear word is still there. You know, maybe we find something else. You know, maybe it's Elon and gigafarms and massive batteries, you know, or maybe it's, you know, a better kind of solar, you know, retention device so that they can still work at night with the energy they've gotten during the day. What's your response to that? Why is it something like, where's the comfort level there?
This is very, very far to the right on the risk reward continuum, right? This is an ultra high risk idea, ultra high potential reward when you consider how early it is. Don't go back the truck up on something that's not going to get deployed for six more years, right? A lot can happen, like you mentioned. And it's expensive. It costs a lot of capital. And you've got to get the regulatory stuff. And you've got to have a lot of things fall into place for this to work out. But again, the upside, you know, this is the beauty of long-term investing. We're not looking at this quarter's earnings per share or, you know, even this year's, you know, financial results. Most of the company's revenue right now is just through engineering and design kind of contracts. We haven't even really started building, you know, the reactors themselves that are getting deployed out there, and then the power that's produced from. But there is a potential for that. And so far, so good, as we're seeing the progress being made. But again, I think it's a good disclaimer, you know, buyer beware. This is still a very high risk technology and a very high risk opportunity as far as NuScale as an investment.
So let me ask you this, and we may not know because it is so far in the future, and it is kind of, you know, hypothetical, because even the first projects aren't going to be online for, you know, the next, you know, half a decade. But is NuScale's long-term, like, profit motive going to be just in fabrication and construction of these things? Or are they also going to be making money off of the back end by, you know, creating the energy, maintaining the energy, charging per, you know, kilowatt hour for companies once they install the plants? Because there is kind of a weird, like, private partnership there where it's like, we're building you a reactor, Microsoft. Good luck. You know, but they're not going to, the Microsoft guys aren't going to man it, right?
So right now they're just doing the engineering and design, right? And actually the fabrication and the construction would be done by Fluor, which is why they have such an interest in this company and the majority ownership of it. From then, they would probably sell it to a power provider or manage the project directly for a utility. It all depends on kind of the contracts and who the commercial customer is. And then, of course, you've got kind of the enterprise direct to the Dow Chemicals or the Microsofts of the world. That would be for internal usage only. The other thing that's interesting, too, is the international potential for this. Nuclear doesn't always translate overseas, right? It's got a national security interest in where we're shipping nuclear plants out there. You got to have the Secretary of Energy sign off on anything like that. But we have seen, a contract with Romania. Romania has actually got a contract with NuScale to provide power over there for one of their power providers. Actually, the Biden administration has partially funded that, $275 million, just to see, you know, to get this plant up and running, to start seeing some of the outcomes and how efficiently they can produce that. But when you kind of see these cooperation, you know, America and its allies, Poland is really big on nuclear, Canada, a lot of places in the UK or Europe embrace this. You know, Europe is very big on nuclear power, of course. And this could be kind of the next evolution of a better technology to get the cost per output even lower.
Yeah, I was going to say NuScale might actually have more of success with its sales pitch in countries other than the US that are a little bit less nuclear averse than we are, just sort of, you know, culturally. So that's interesting. So again, just to recap, lots of SMR talk, right? Both the actual small modular reactors and NuScale, the company with the ticker sign SMR. Interesting fission power play if you're looking into the nuclear space, and possibly 6-10 years down the line, a partial solution for the climate fix, if not the complete solution, according to some of the folks talking about it. I'm interested to see the dialogue 6-10 years from now. You know, when we're talking about this, is it still contested, right? Or do these small reactors come online, they work great, you know, they as advertised, and then, you know, people go, oh, well, that's not as scary. There's not the big water cooling tank that haunts my dreams, you know, from Three Mile Island and Chernobyl. Like, these aren't so bad. So I'll be interested to see how that turns out, you know, around the time this prognostication comes to maturity. Simon, anything else you'd like
Absolutely.
To add?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, NIMBY, I mean, to address your last comment, not in my backyard, right? That's been one of the big things of don't put a nuclear power plant in my backyard. Don't put a small nuclear power plant in my backyard. I don't care if it's a third of the size. I mean, the same thing has been seen with, you know, wind farms and everything else. It's kind of been, you know, where are we going to put these things? That's been kind of offsetting a lot of the renewable energy development. But, you know, if you got the right place, whether it's giving it for the grid or whether it's small enough to give it for a commercial customer, small modular reactor has the right first word. It's small. It's not giant like the old ones used to be. And that's kind of one of the selling points of SMRs.
That's right. It's less scary, although still high risk, high reward. So if you're looking for a high risk, high reward potential play in the energy space, consider looking at NuScale Energy. If you would like a lot more ideas like the one we just talked about, you should consider becoming a subscriber to 7 Investing. We give 7 stock market recommendations each month to our subscriber base. We give them deep dive recommendation analysis. We show them the ins and outs of the company, kind of like we did here a little bit, just a taste. You know, our actual reports are much more in depth for each of the companies we give out each month. We also do a monthly call where you can chat with our lead advisors live. We can also have a forum, community forum on our Discord server where you can ping them with questions about any of the recommendations. It's a great place to really sink your teeth into these companies before you start to sink your money into them. So come and find us. You can try us for your first week for just $1 by going to 7investing.com/subscribe. For Simon Erickson, I'm JT Street, and thank you so much for listening to the 7 Investing podcast, where we empower you to invest in your future.